Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The Korean Peninsula is at the center of global geopolitics right now. It might also be ground zero for the global decline of amphibians. And strangely, the two might be connected. For years, the die-off of frogs and other amphibians around the globe was a mystery. And then in 1998, scientists pointed the finger not at a chemical, as many had suspected, but at a fungus, in particular a kind of fungus known as chytrid fungus. Now, 20 years later, researchers say they've traced that deadly fungus back to the Korean Peninsula. Matt Fisher is a professor in the School of Public Health at Imperial College London, and he's the senior author on the new study published in the journal Science. Matt, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Hello, good to hear from you.
All right, we've known for 20 years that this particular fungus is killing frogs and other amphibians. Why does it matter where it came from?
First of all, we need to know, because that's going to inform us about where. I mean, it's unlikely that this just happened once. There's possibilities that it might happen again. I mean, certainly if you think about HIV/AIDS, that's submerged into the human population, was estimated 8 times now from ape populations in Africa. So these things keep on coming at us. And so once you establish where the hot zone is, then you can actually think of new ways to prevent these disease emergences occurring.
And do we know what caused this fungus to emerge from the Korean Peninsula out into the rest of the world?
Our paper establishes firmly that amphibians that are in the trade are parasitized by all known lineages of this chytrid.
And when you say in the trade,
this is the pet trade, yes. Pet and probably food trade as well, because these frogs are also traded for food.
And so those are all infected, we know, with this kind of fungus?
Yeah, exactly. And so actually, I mean, we know that there are two types of fungus. There's the one that you're talking about, which started causing declines, we imagine, from the first half of the 20th century. But there's also a more recent one. This infects salamanders. And that has emerged from Asia. It's called B-Sal, not BD, and kills fire salamanders in Europe. And that has been also found in traded animals. And that comes not from the Korean Peninsula, but Vietnam. So Asia does seem to be a hotspot for these pathogens.
Could things like the Vietnam War or the Korean War also have played a role in helping to introduce these fungus species to the rest of the world?
So this is entirely a hypothesis, but our paper times the emergence of the killer lineage, which went global, to sometime in the early 20th century. But, you know, the peak of our likelihood was the 1950s. Now, back then, people weren't so into keeping pets and translocating amphibians for the pet trade as they are now. Now, you know, remember that we're recovering from the Second World War. It's a period of great global instability. People didn't keep exotic pets there. They were just trying to survive. But what we do know is that huge numbers of personnel and war material were moved in and out of that region. 6 million service people, along with all their tanks and firepower. So if you're moving this amount of equipment around the world and people, then you're also going to move frogs passively. So they hide away in pallets, in vehicles, you know, people will move them as souvenirs from their time in Korea. If you think about, you know, MASH, how bored were those service people? I find it very likely that they actually made friends with some of the frogs that they used to share their forest camps with. And I bet when it came time to go home, they couldn't bear to be parted and they just put them in their pockets and took them home with them. But this is entirely hypothesis and conjecture. But we do know that this is the period that this lineage, killer lineage, did expand across the planet.
Why, if it emerged from the Korean Peninsula into the rest of the world sometime in the 50s or 60s, why wasn't it until, you know, the 80s or 90s that we were really hearing about and worrying about the global decline of frogs and other amphibians?
Well, there's two answers to that, really. For a start, we don't really know a lot about wildlife. I mean, we know it's there, but you actually, it's kind of reclusive, and these frogs don't report in sick. So we actually recognized that there was a problem when scientists did, as they like to do, they met up at a conference and they had a few beers and they started discussing their favorite study species. This was a herpetological congress in the UK. And all these stories started coming about. It's like, you know, my species is rare or my species is gone. And it was there the year before when it vanished. And so actually it turns out that these stories had been around for a couple of decades before all the dots were joined up in the Canterbury Meet. And they'd been just classified as enigmatic declines, amphibians that had vanished without any known cause, often in pristine environments, montane rainforests. So at that point, the search was really on to find out where these amphibians had gone. You know, alien abduction, pesticides, their rainforest cut down, you know, there's a number of ideas being kicked around. But what it turns out is that these declines had, some of them had happened in a very clear kind of wave of advance. And that's when the organism was caught, again, by a very well-known mycologist, Joyce Longcore, who studied the chytrid. She recently won a Golden Goose Award for a piece of unlikely science that yielded a world-changing discovery. And that her discovery was to recognize that it was a fungus that was killing these animals.
I'm talking with Matt Fisher of Imperial College London about the chytrid fungus that has been killing frogs and other amphibians, apparently for decades, in the range of possible things that could have been causing these declines that you mentioned. You know, obviously, if it's alien invasion, there's not much we can do about it. If it had turned out to be something like pesticides, we could have maybe regulated those out of use. With something like this, is there anything we can do to stop this?
Well, yes, absolutely. There is something we can do. We can stop it from happening again. So some recent research has shown that the declines in these very heavily struck area have slowed down, and indeed some species are starting to recover. Now, what we don't want to happen is for another more virulent lineage to come along, or indeed a new lineage which then recombines with the lineage that's always already there to generate something that's worse than what we'd seen before. So this message has been broadly recognized, and countries are now throwing up bans to certain arms of the amphibian trade. So the US has now banned the import of salamanders from Asia, and so has Canada. So you can control this by preventing further introductions of the pathogens.
Matt Fisher is a professor in the School of Public Health at Imperial College London, and he's the senior author on a new study showing that the fungus killing off frogs and salamanders around the globe originated in Southeast Asia. Matt, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for listening to me.
And that's our show. Next week, flame retardants and nonstick chemicals have made life easier, but they're showing up in Massachusetts drinking water, and concern is growing. Plus, on a lighter note, a summer reading list composed entirely of stories about scientists. In the meantime, you can connect with Living Lab Radio on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.